This time, I'd encourage you each to turn once again, actually for the last time at least, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as this morning. We'll look at the concluding verse of that chapter, just verse 13. Last week, we considered the apostles' plea that we should live for that which is eternal. While we live in the in-between the already and the not yet, in between the time of Christ's ascension and his glorious resurrection and his return, we look forward and we should seize the individual time that we do have. But at the very same time, while we seize the opportunities that God provides, we are always looking with an eternal perspective and an eternal focus. The spiritual gifts and the things that we so often value in this world, they are all passing away. The Lord gives and he will certainly take away. Additionally, everything that we see in this life is but a dim reflection, a shadow of what will be. And from this we can take away that everything that we understand in this world is but some sort of partial knowledge. So we long for the day, we yearn for the day when Christ returns and he ushers in the eternal, when the shadow will be replaced with what is fully known, with we shall see then face to face, when love will define every single aspect of our lives. That's the goal of our faith. It's the basis for our hope, and it is the result of our love. That's the biblical triad that we will reflect upon this morning: faith, hope, and love. But before we consider this text, let's seek the face of the one into whom we place our faith, the God who is alone our hope, the God who is love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come now to this important eternal passage, Father, might we place our faith in you and in you alone. Might our hope rest in your faithfulness and your goodness. Might we love as we have been loved, to the glory and honor of your Son, our Savior, and for the building up of his church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn now to the conclusion of this beloved chapter, the inspired, inerrant word from our God who is love. This morning I'll read just verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. I'm going to make an assumption, and you know what they say about making assumptions. But I assume that some of you are good at multitasking. I can't even simply walk out of a sand trap. Some, maybe not so much. Others, though, perhaps think that they're good at multitasking, and so they start a ton of different tasks. They've got a lot of things going on, and what ends up happening is none of them ever get completely finished. Everything is left in some semblance of disorder and incompleteness. Think about it. The more that we put onto our plates, the easier it is to become distracted by yet another thing. Distractions can come at us from every single angle, even below our feet. And they take away our focus from what is truly important. My wife is a multitasker, but I often have to remind her, stay on target. So the apostle concludes this chapter, this chapter which is really a parentheses almost, an interjection on love with the still more excellent way that we can glorify Christ and that we can build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, keep on task. Focus on what truly matters, what will last throughout all of the ages to come, because he knows that it's so easy for us to be distracted by all the bells and whistles that we have in life. He knows that all these shiny things that surround us, he knows that we can be distracted by both the important things in life, but also by the extremely unimportant things. Therefore, Paul summarizes this chapter by reminding the Corinthians and reminding us that the Christian must pursue Christ-like love above all other things. And he does so by reminding the Corinthians and the rest of us as well to focus on the biblical triad of faith, hope, and love. So let's begin this morning by focusing on that, considering that triad of faith, hope, and love. That's the triad that we as Christians are called to live by. But there's two other triads that we need to consider briefly to kind of have a bit of context, cultural context around Paul's statement. The first being what I'll call a worldly triad. One older commentator writing on this verse notes that in the unbeliever, there is a more or less the opposite of these three. There is unbelief, despair, and hatred. Whereas the believer is called to live by faith, the unbeliever necessarily is living by their unbelief. They're defined by it. That defines their nature. They are one who does not have faith in the Lord God. Doesn't trust Christ as he has revealed himself. And so their unbelief, yeah, sometimes they have hope, but we read earlier it's a false hope. It leads them to a very dangerous place, and then often it leads them to the point of despair. The unbeliever comes upon the valley of the shadow of death, or comes upon the various trials that are certain to come in this life, and they quake. They don't know what to do. They're lost. They have no true and abounding hope that can get them through it. The unbeliever then in their despair leads them to live a life that's summarized by hatred. The unbeliever hates the one true God. They'll make up some God that fits their own image, but the true God revealed in the scriptures they hate. They hate the gospel that I'm saved not by my own works, but by faith. He hates the scriptures. This is God's inerrant word meant to direct me. No, I'm going to rule for myself. And he hates those who are united to Christ through the gospel. As Jesus prepared his disciples, as they have hated me, so they will hate you. Unbelief, despair, and hatred, that's the triad that ultimately makes up the majority of the people in our world. But as we've been considering the topic of spiritual gifts, we've understood that the Corinthians, well, they had their own special triad. The Corinthian triad was made up of the spiritual gifts of knowledge and prophecy and the speaking in tongues. They were Greeks, so knowledge was extremely important, and many had the elitist, well, look at me perspective on life, and then they brought that into the church. It couched how they lived out their Christianity. They focused on the gifts that would get more readily recognized, or that would get them more readily recognized. But as we saw last week, our knowledge in this life is only partial. We have a child's understanding of things, and we only see things dimly as though they're reflected on a cloudy bronze metal surface. Paul said the gift of knowledge will pass away. Prophecy too, it will cease. And tongues, they will cease. This triad so valued by the Corinthians, understand this, it is important. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit sovereignly manifested to his people in this age. Paul will refuse to denigrate them. But they do have a shelf life. Paul therefore exhorts the church to live for what abides, that is, that which is eternal, that which is the still more excellent way. And so we come to Paul's presentation here, the biblical triad. So now faith, hope, and love, these three. Through our readings, we readily saw those three put together in the Scriptures. The Scriptures do it quite frequently. It's clear that the first century church thought of these three together. When you thought of one, you thought of the other two. Let me just give you a couple biblical examples you can go back and read later. Galatians 5:5-6. For through the Spirit we eagerly wait by faith for the righteousness for which we hope, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. How about Colossians 1:4-5? Because we have heard of your faith, in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for God's people. The faith and love that spring from hope. Faith and love springing from hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. And he begins his epistle to the church in Thessalonica. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus. And then he ends the same epistle, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. The early church thought of these three as a united whole. While we can distinguish them, the three are thought of together. So we have this biblical triad, faith, hope, and love. We consider then that Paul adds something here to that combination that has existed even in the Old Testament. We saw it in the psalm at the beginning of the service. He adds to it here that the eternal nature of faith, hope, and love. So now faith, hope, and love abide. They eternally abide. That's important because it's compared to everything else in the world. That is, that which ceases and passes away. We've seen Paul's argument already about the gift of prophecy. It will pass away. We've seen it as far as the gift of knowledge. It too will pass away. And the gift of speaking in tongues, they will cease. To that we argued last week that all of the spiritual gifts, not just the Corinthian triad, but every single one of them, all of them are meant for this period in between. They have that shelf life. They will cease. Paul said when the Lord Jesus comes, when time is swept away into eternity, when that which is meant for the in-between, it will cease and it will pass away. But I need to take you back further in the time that we've had together. Think back to our study in the book of Revelation. And even if you were here for Vic's funeral a bit over a week ago, we saw that even heaven as it currently exists, heaven itself will pass away. This earth and everything in it will pass away. There's no point in clinging to anything that we have in this life, except for, of course, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why cling to what you possess? Why cling to what you think gives you status? Why cling to any of it? For all of it will pass away. Paul reminds us of that so that we can be told and understand that that which abides forever is this triad, faith, hope, and love. We've been told already, love never ends. It never ends because it's tied to the nature of God. God is love. Well, God is also eternal, therefore love is eternal. That's simple logic. The God who is love always acts in love. Love will always be present. But what about faith and hope? One writer notes that, like faith, hope presupposes and expresses a genuine and therefore unalterable truth about God. God is faithful. That is, one in whom faith is properly reposed. Similarly, God is our hope. That is, one in whom our hope is properly reposed. It is because they are thus rooted in truth about God that faith and hope express a permanent truth about man. As God is always faithful, so faith in Him abides, it remains, it is eternal. There will never be a time when the believer will not be said to be one who lives by faith, even when our faith is added to by sight. We shall still live by faith. In the same manner, our hope, if you are here today hoping in your strength, hoping in yourself, there's a sand trap waiting for you. If you're here hoping in your possessions or in your status, there is a depression coming for you. Our hope is in the Lord, and therefore that hope abides even in the face-to-face of eternity. And that's why we can sing that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is in no other save in Thee. Our faith is built upon Thy promise free. And we can sing that because the Lord, the faithful one, the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. Hope is the result of an amazing grace. The biblical triad of faith, hope, and love abide forever, but then Paul concludes this chapter with this statement, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. With that, we consider finally the superiority of love over faith and hope. Why does the apostle say that love is greater than faith? How is it greater than hope, especially since all three of them abide eternally? Okay, I hope that we all are willing to assert that what Paul states here, that all three of these abide eternally. So that makes each one on its own greater than everything else we see in this world, even greater than all of the spiritual gifts combined. But is it the case that throughout eternity, love is greater than the others? Alan Johnson answers the question this way. Love is the greatest because all of the Christian values and ministries of the Spirit depend on it for their validity. It lasts for eternity. It binds the Christian community together now and eternally. And it is the nature of God as revealed to us in Christ Jesus. God is love. So our love is a reflection of the very image of God being restored within us. Faith and hope then cling to, are grounded upon the God who is love. Love reflects the God in whom we place our faith and our hope. Faith and hope depend upon the love of God. The Life Application Commentary of the Bible puts it this way, and I printed it in the top of your bulletins. Faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus. Love is the action. Love is a verb, remember? Faith informs action. Hope influences action. Love is action. When faith and hope are in line, you are free to love completely because you understand how God loves. To go back to the movie Jerry Maguire, think of it this way. Love completes faith. Love completes hope. Let me suggest, you do not have faith if you do not love. That's what 1 John says. You do not have hope if you do not love. Faith, yes, gives way to sight. But we still live by faith in the God who is love. Hope gives way to the eternal present, the reality, the renewed life that is ours in Christ. But love will still reflect the attitude and the action that we display towards our Lord. Love will display and reflect the attitude and the action that we show to our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout all of eternity. All of our thoughts loving. All of our words spoken in love, building up. All of our actions loving for the good of others. Love will define every single aspect of the eternal life that the Christian will live. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of them is love. In this time, today, as we are living in this fallen and broken world, as we live in the in-between, as we strain, as we yearn for the day which is to come, for the eternal life, we live by faith. We live by faith and not by sight. And the key to the idea of faith is that of faithfulness. Faith requires faithfulness. Faithfulness requires faith. We live in faithfulness to the one in whom we profess our faith. And as we live by faith, so we also walk in hope. This fallen world is not our home. The effects of the fall that many of you are struggling under, or that struggle under you, the pains, even death itself will pass away. They will be no more. Our hope cannot, therefore, be based on the things of this world. It can't be based on even the gifts that God gives us, even the good things that He gives us, even the abilities that we have to work with our hands. It can't be on our possessions. Our hope is placed squarely on the one who overcame this world, the one who overcame even death and the grave. Our hope is in no other save in Thee. Our hope is built upon Thy promise free. For our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Live by faith. Walk in hope and do all things in love. Love for the Christ who saved us. Love for those whom He displayed His love upon the cross. For those that He gave Himself sacrificially for. Even Jesus said, love those that you would deem your enemies, those that make you uncomfortable. Boy, I hope they don't sit in my pew this morning. This is the more excellent way. This is the greater way, Paul says. Do all things reflecting the love of Christ. Live by faith. Walk in hope. And do all things in love. Let's pray. Father, as You call us to live by the faith that You give to us, faith is a gift from God. It is a work of the Holy Spirit within us. So, enable us to live by that faith. Father, I confess that sometimes in this world it is so hard. We are so driven by what we see and the emotions that we feel. But let us be a people that, regardless of circumstances, lives by faith. And Lord, no matter what it is that we are facing, we can live and walk in hope, because our hope is not in our ability to scale the wall. Our hope is not in our ability to break through the wall. Our hope is in the one who overcame the wall. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in you. And that is a sure and certain hope, an unfading hope. Lord, cause us to love as you have loved us and sought us and loved us while we were in love with our sin. But you brought us into your family. You named us as your own. And so we will live loving Christ, but give us a love for your people today. Lord, especially for those that rub us wrong, especially for those that we just naturally are oil and water with. But love is not a feeling. Love is a verb. It's the seeking action to do good for them. Lord, that is the heart of Christ, a heart which trusted in you, a heart which had hope beyond what we could ever imagine, and love as a very nature. Lord, we thank you. Lord, guide us always. In Jesus' name, amen.